Good morning. Welcome back to your hometown radio station, AM 1360 KOHU. It is time for the Odds and Ends program here on this Wednesday morning. And we welcome you into the studio. We welcome you as well online at GoHermiston.com and Mixler.com/1360-KOHU. The web stream is powered by Blue Mountain Networks. That's internet at the speed of life. Joining us this morning from the Good Shepherd Healthcare System, we have the CEO and the CFO and COO, Art Matheson, and Jonathan Edwards on the program with us. Good morning to you.
Good morning. Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us.
A requested show. Got an email the other day. Do we have any space? About a month ago, there was a letter that was sent to the White House by a number of senators. It included being signed on by Oregon senators, Ron Wyden and Jeff Merkley, in it. It cited a study, a report from the University of North Carolina, Cecil G. Shepps Center, that had the potential of closure of more than 300 rural hospitals. There were four hospitals notably on that list from Oregon. Good Shepherd is one of them. Art, are you closing your doors?
Well, thanks for having us first. And clearly, like the professional you are, you've done your homework. And that's exactly the reason why we asked for you to have us today, but also to provide some of the updates of the great things that are going on at our organization. But I really
want... Because I figured this was a pretty quick answer. You're not closing.
We're not closing our doors, far from it. And that study from the Shep Center at UNC Chapel Hill was a study that only looked at two criteria, one of which does not apply to us whatsoever. And then the other criteria, Medicaid payer mix. Our payer mix has been similar to what it is now, which is 28%, for many, many years. And so that's not going to affect us in any way other than what it has affected us in the past several years and years to come. And those are our patients, and we're proud to take care of them. And we look forward to many of the great things going on at our organization in the future.
So the other piece was 3 years of losses to what a hospital's been doing. And so you're saying that's not even coming in to play for Good Shepherd.
That criteria that they looked at does not apply to us whatsoever. We have not had losses I looked back for the last 4 or 5 years, and we have had really good years for the last 4 or 5 years, probably a lot longer than that. So, and then the year that we just finished up at the end of June, our fiscal year goes July through June. We haven't closed it out yet because this month we still have to finalize, but we've had a really good year this year that we just finished. And so doesn't apply at all. The concern really came up about a week ago when we got a call from a retired woman that is a longstanding patient at our organization. And she called mid-morning. I called her back about lunchtime that same day. And what she said to me is, I read the article and my husband and I are really concerned because if Good Shepherd closes, we very likely may have to move. We really like our doctors and other providers that we see at Good Shepherd. And if we can't see them and have to drive far distances, then we need to move near another hospital. And that really hit home to us, to our team, on the importance of hospitals, community hospitals specifically, like us and many throughout Oregon and America, that provide care close to home for our patients that walk through our doors every day.
The article question that was sent along came from the Dalles media organization. I know it's been picked up at a couple of other places, I mean, it stems to back to that letter that the senators signed on to. I guess the question is, as things are in flux with Medicare and Medicaid, do you have a sense what the impact could be to Good Shepherd? if there are changes to Medicare and Medicaid?
Yeah, really right now, out of those two, Medicaid is the one that's in question. And actually, a big reason why I brought Jonathan here today was specifically to answer a question like this. And I'm going to hand it over to him. But what I'll tell you is, thanks to Jonathan's knowledge of Medicaid and the finances of our hospital, we've already looked pretty closely at the effect this will have on us. And so I'll hand it over to him to give some more insight. Jonathan.
Yeah, thank you, Art. Let's step back for a second and talk about the portion of the Medicaid population that this really refers to. And that is the single able-bodied 19 to 64 age group that is in that 100% to 138% Medicaid expansion population. That's only about 5% of the overall Medicaid population. And as we look at that particular issue with our Medicaid population and apply those same sort of assumptions in terms of, you know, which members of our population fall into that category, where when you winnow that down, you're really talking about a very, very small subset of individuals that would fall into this, what is being referred to as a work requirement. And so there's a couple things to think about with the work requirement. First of all, we're talking about a small group of people in by and large, about 5%. The second is the current work requirement under the BBB bill does not say that those individuals would fall off the Medicaid rolls. What it says is they need to provide information about their work for 20 hours per week, whether volunteer or whether employment, and in order to maintain their Medicaid status. The best analysis we have, the best data that we have from other states that have done this sort of work requirement implementation for their Medicaid program previously, is that somewhere in the neighborhood of 15% of that group can struggle through the administrative red tape to, you know, have access to the internet and supply their information to the Medicaid program. So you're really talking about 15% of a 5% group. And that 15%, you have to remember that best that best analysis, Arkansas actually did this in 2018. If you look at that report, the analysis of what they did, we've gone 7 years since that 2018 implementation in Arkansas. There have been huge advancements in rural internet access and technology and so forth. Just about everybody has a smartphone. We really feel that, you know, that 15%, they estimate it's more like 50% of that 15%. So that winnows down that group even further. If you look at our overall Medicaid population, what we think this truly impacts is less than 1% of our Medicaid population. Now, that falls into the group of the quote unquote at risk of losing Medicaid coverage. But we would do things as an organization to help them navigate the quote unquote red tape.
I'm glad you went there, because that was my follow-up. I mean, you're a hospital, but can you put things in place to provide the supports to those very, yes, what sounds like small group of customers?
Yes, absolutely. And in fact, we did that very thing under the Obamacare Medicaid expansion, where we provided resources as a hospital to help people navigate the Medicaid system and submit their information. We would do that same type of thing under this sort of program. Now, keep in mind, this work requirement is not scheduled to be implemented until 2028. A couple other things to keep in mind. Oregon has the option to implement this work requirement program or not. If Oregon chooses not to implement this work requirement, nothing changes. Nothing changes in terms of the federal Medicaid dollars. There's been no indication from CMS that they will restrict Medicaid dollars if the work requirement is not implemented. And so sometimes there's, you know, little tidbits of information that are out there on both political sides that don't give a true accurate depiction of what is taking place and what the true at-risk group is. We actually feel very bullish about the future, and we feel very excited about the future. We're that 1% that could be at risk, we feel very strongly we could help them navigate.
It's CFO and COO Jonathan Edwards, along with the CEO Art Matheson of the Good Shepherd Healthcare System, with us this morning on the Odds and Ends program. 8:15 is the time here on AM 1360 at KOHU. I just remember a mid-June when this came out initially, was while I was on my Fox Sports trip, and somebody asked me, "Well, you live in a rural area in Hermiston, is it?" I would be really surprised because of the number of different things that this hospital has been doing. I mean, it exactly. seems like there's a new doctor or new type of expansion to a department that's being announced almost every week. You've got the process of expanding out and building the helipad and being able that's to right. put LifeLight right there. I mean, in my head, I was like, I joked, well, they just put their name on a pickleball center. So,
that's right.
I think financially things are going pretty good, Art.
Financially, things are really solid. A lot of great work has been done over the years by our board with their oversight, by the leadership at this organization and a great staff, and a very supportive community. Let me give just a couple of tidbits that will be going out in a letter from me to our community later this morning, highlighting and essentially mirroring what we're talking about right now. We have hired over 80 physicians and other providers of various specialties over the last 23 months. That's 80. Yesterday alone, we signed on 4 more physicians and providers of various specialties. We are continuing to recruit for ENT, general surgery, internal medicine, OB-GYN, oncology, pediatrics, primary care, dermatology, ophthalmology, and rheumatology. From January 2023 to July 15th, 2025, yesterday, Good Shepherd has increased from 1,048 team members to 1,540 team members, an increase of 492 staff to support the new and expanded services highlighted below. Now, why do I tell you this? Because our community and also our staff, I got several requests and emails from staff, particularly and specifically about this article, concerned about their organization. They live here, they raise their family here, they have a home here, they get their care from Good Shepherd, and now they're worrying about it potentially closing because of a poor study and information that was sent out that wasn't accurate. And so if we're struggling, we wouldn't be doing all these things, to your point earlier. And what we're really trying to do is meet our mission, which is high quality care close to home. So as many specialties as I've told you previously, I've been here a couple times before, what makes sense and what we can support as far as the various specialties that we're bringing in, we will continue to do so and recruit more specialties so that our patients can drive 5 minutes, 10 minutes, get the care that they need, and then drive 5 or 10 minutes home. And we're working hard on that every day to make that happen.
What are the circumstances that allowed, especially the last 2 years, essentially, this growth and this expansion?
Well, if you were to ask Jonathan, I think he does a really good job at explaining that because he is our lead recruiter for our providers. And so I brought him here. And I don't want him to leave saying I didn't get to talk enough on our way back. And so I'm going to let him give you his spiel, which I really like. Jonathan, if you don't mind.
Yeah, thank you. It's been a really great experience to bring this many providers into our community. And
stop you. By the way, Jonathan started working here when he was 10 at Good Shepherd. No, I'm just kidding. He just looks young. Actually, Jonathan has been here to give the listeners a bit of perspective. This has essentially been the organization he has worked for his adult career. Am I not correct?
Very close, yes.
Very close. So he has been here 21 years. So if anyone has good perspective, it's definitely him. Go ahead.
Yeah, thank you, Art. I think certainly we have to attribute much of what has taken place in the last 2 years to Art's leadership. And it's the mindset of growth that he has brought to Good Shepherd. I think for many years, those of us who worked at Good Shepherd for a long time, we had a sense of the potential that existed here for a variety of reasons. But as we've, I've told people, I recall a couple of years ago when a provider who's no longer with us came up to me and said, you know, you'll never get someone to come to Northeastern Oregon. You'll never get people to come to Hermiston. They just don't want to come to a rural place like this. And we sort of took that as a personal challenge. And you know, what we have figured out is we can get people from all across the country to come to Good Shepherd in Hermiston. And there's two or three key points. The first has to do with that mindset, that growth mindset. A lot of providers come from organizations where they're retracting. You know, they're large organizations that are struggling financially, large organizations that are part of tertiary health systems where there's a lot of bureaucratic red tape and there's a lot of restrictions on their ability to provide care. We don't have those sorts of restrictions here because we view our providers not as employees, but as partners in providing care. And so many providers love the idea of independence. We are an independent health system. We're not at the mercy of any large tertiary system. And so that red tape just doesn't exist. We are able to have relationships with these providers, provide them the tools that they need, and very rapidly to start providing the care the community needs. So they love that independence. They love the vision. They love the mindset. Hermiston's a great place to be. There's a lot of growth taking place. It's very centrally located in the region. Providers love that ability to travel to various places throughout the region. Ultimately, any provider who understands the various, you know, trends in healthcare, and any provider that has even a semblance of business acumen, understands that this is a place where they can build something. This is a place where they can provide a service that has never been provided previously. Art described many, many specialties that we have now that Good Shepherd and this Hermiston area has never had. We just, and we'll put out some publicity about this, but we just brought on a neurologist about 2 weeks ago. That's a specialty that has never existed in Hermiston and has never existed at Good Shepherd previously. And he's now making an instant impact in the lives of individuals and patients in our organization. So those three things, the vision, the growth mindset, the location, the independence, and the partnership relationship that we try to create with our providers has really created a lot of success. And in fact, I just looked at a recruitment list yesterday of 359 providers who have shown interest in coming to Good Shepherd, over and above the 80 that we've already hired. That is amazing when you think about what Hermiston has been in the past and what Good Shepherd has been in the past. And we're continuing to grow, to Art's point, to meet the needs of the community members. And it really pains us anytime someone has to travel away for care. If we have the resources, which we absolutely do, we are in a very solid financial position right now. If we have the resources, then there's no reason why we shouldn't be able to provide that care. There's no reason why we shouldn't go out and get those providers and bring them here locally so our patients don't have to travel. That's ultimately the vision of what we're looking to do. Care close to home for all of our patients.
You've been here for a little more than two decades now. I mean, was there a time when it was, I don't know, we can't add that because we can't compete with Cadillac or somebody up in the Tri-Cities or something like that?
Well, I think it, you know, I don't want to speak negatively to any prior leadership, but I had a sense as we were, over the last 20 years or so, I had a sense for the potential that Good Shepherd had. One of those great advantages that we have is our reimbursement. We have some of the best reimbursement you'll find in any healthcare organization in America, actually. Using that significant reimbursement advantage allows us to bring in really good providers. I think...
Can you open the glossary and explain, what does that mean?
Well, in healthcare, reimbursement is the name of the game. And by reimbursement, I mean the money or the revenue you receive from third-party payers, which is either insurances or Medicare, Medicaid, or patients. We are in a very favorable reimbursement situation because of our status as a critical access hospital. And as a critical access hospital, we are what's called cost-based reimbursed, which means we get 99 cents on the dollar from our Medicare patients instead of about 35 or 40 cents on the dollar that other regional hospitals get. Now, that comes with some important caveats that we have to keep an eye on. There's bed inpatient limits that we have to be careful of, and there's average length of stay that we have to be careful of on the inpatient realm. But we can invest heavily in the outpatient realm. There's really no limit or ceiling to what we're able to do in the outpatient realm. And so that reimbursement advantage actually has always given us a recruitment advantage if we take advantage of that. And I think perhaps there was a sense, you know, previously that, you know, we have a little bit of an identity crisis. We're either, you know, a little small rural hospital, or are we trying to be something bigger? Or, and what we're trying to be is just what our community needs. That's what we're trying to be. And so if our community needs neurology care, and we analyze every single one of these specialties, and we look at the out-migration patterns, and we look at the referral patterns, and where there's a significant amount of out-migration or travel away from our facility or our area, we're going to invest in those areas so our patients can stay here close to home. Now, there's a fair amount of analysis that goes into that. We have to we have to invest carefully. We just don't do it wildly or on a whim. There's processes and there's analyses to go into this, but we're investing in the right places at the right time. You have to understand also that coming out of COVID, there's been a lot of retraction in healthcare. By retraction, I mean that large organizations like Cadillac, who historically have satellited into smaller communities, are retracting. Some of that has to do with reimbursement. Some of that has to do with the cost of providing the care in a poorly reimbursed time. As that retraction has taken place over the last couple of years, we really view that as a window of opportunity for Good Shepherd to fill that void and invest in the specialties that previously had been satelliting in. And that is allowing our patients to stay here close to home to receive their care and not be routed to a larger mothership at a great distance to receive their care.
Last couple of minutes here, the odds and ends program for this Wednesday morning with Jonathan Edwards, the COO and CFO, and CEO Art Matheson of Good Shepherd Healthcare System. So, this comes on to the impetus of just making sure people understand Good Shepherd is not a hospital of these 300 plus named by the UNC Center study.
Correct.
That is actually at risk of closing. But what are challenges that you're facing right now?
Well, I've been doing this for 28 years, and so there's not too much that has come across my desk that I haven't seen before. And so it may be cliche, but I don't look at too many things as challenges. I try to look at them as opportunities. And for example, when this article came out and I thought, okay, it's not really going to get out there. It's gonna, you know, the bill is approved, not gonna have to worry about it. And then it kind of exploded, and I started hearing from my staff and patients. I was a little frustrated because it negatively affected us in two areas. It concerned our great staff, and then it concerned, most importantly, our patients. And we didn't like that, but we looked at it as an opportunity, which we need to continue doing, to tell our story, to let all of our patients and all the communities in this region that we care for, that they have a healthcare system that wants to be their system of choice. And I've been at a number of organizations, and you always hear things when you get to an organization 10 years ago. This is the nickname that Good Shepherd had.
Sure.
You know, a negative nickname. I've been told of a few of those nicknames. And I really don't care about 10 years ago. I care about now and into the future. And what I tell our staff is everywhere I've been, there are great people at organizations. And usually you just need to bring in a couple of key players and have the right mindset, which I think we have here from our board, from our volunteers, from our 1,500 plus staff, from our community, where we can truly be the healthcare system our communities deserve to have. And so as far as the challenges, every day our schedules change. And that's healthcare, it's very fluid. I would say that the biggest concern for me that keeps me up at night is not internally, but it's the external things, like what's going on in DC. And this is from a 20-year military guy that saluted the flag and followed what the commander-in-chief said. I would rather not have to pay attention to that, but I do, because sometimes there are consequences that people aren't aware of that go down to all of our hospitals and affect us in a negative way. I don't think, to Jonathan's point, that this Medicaid reform is going to affect us much at all. Still to be determined, but that's our initial take. And so those are some of the things, you know, that are coming from changes in regulations in the state and federally that could affect us, unintended consequences, if you will. And I'm not even sure what those are, but what I know, if I know anything, is you worry about those things, you pay attention to them. You worry about your competition, you pay attention to them. It's kind of like trying to become a great basketball team. I can talk military and sports analogy, but what do you worry most about as an organization? You worry about yourself. About 90% of the time, if you worry about being great, striving for perfection every day, even though you probably won't get there, but as long as you have that mindset, you're going to achieve excellence. And those things that come your way, you're going to be ready for, because you got great people. As you could see, this is why I brought Jonathan today. Great minds that understand how to navigate the landscape and avoid those landmines out there, so we can continue being the organization that all of our patients deserve to have.
It's 8:32. I'm going to kind of go into overtime here, sure, if I can, because this started with something that happened in D.C., but I wonder, because I've had many educators on and we've had this conversation over and over again, this legislative session that just ended, what are their impacts? That is one of the, the E in CEO means you get to deal with things that happen in Salem and in D.C. more so than most others.
Right.
Were there things that we should be aware of out of that legislative session that affect Good Shepherd, that affect rural healthcare?
Great question. I would say at this point in time, just because our focus over the last several weeks has been particularly on this Medicaid reform, this UNC Chapel Hill study, we haven't gone into the finer details of that legislative session that just ended. We've got a great hospital association of Oregon that does a good job supporting, representing all of our hospitals, and we'll be looking into that into the near future. What I'll tell you is the hospital association, their staff, did a great job at representing us during that legislative session and ensuring many of those potential landmines that could be unintended consequences negatively to our hospitals helped avoid those from becoming bills. And then the ones that did come, which, you know, off the top of my head were just a handful, I think are going to affect us very little in the years to come. And so thanks to them for what they've done. And we'll look at those things closer as the weeks and months continue into the next fiscal year.
But presumably, it's safe to say, if you haven't heard, then yeah, it probably, there wasn't there, anything.
There's nothing. I was just on the every other week Hospital Association CEO meeting on Monday, and nothing struck me of course, my mind was half on what we're talking about today,
because
I was amped up a little bit about it. Understandably, if you understand now, and the listeners understand what went out there and the concern, but there was nothing that I heard that got me concerned whatsoever.
Well, as we started with and we'll end with, the Good Shepherd is not closing.
Not closing.
Not even close. We appreciate the conversation. Thanks for being with us here this morning.
Thanks for having us, and with such short notice, it's great to be here, Eric.
With the Good Shepherd Healthcare System CEO, Art Matheson, and the COO and CFO, Jonathan Edwards, with us here. That's the Odds and Ends program for this Wednesday morning. We're back at noon today with news and agribusiness.
It's what you've all been waiting for, the Umatilla County Fair.